All right, everyone, let's resume. And I think we have a few more people signed up to testify.
I believe just three more, unless Judy Kafori did not hear her name.
Judy, I don't think she's here.
She may have left. Okay, thank you. The last three who signed up are Rod Merrick, Vanessa Rennick, and Mary Ann Schwab.
Okay. Mary Ann, how did you manage to be last? Come on up, you three. Rod, I think you're on first.
All right.
Starting from right to left.
Yes.
All right. My name is Rod Merrick. I am an architect. I'm also the chair of the Eastmoreland Neighborhood Association Land Use Committee. And as you guys know, we've been very involved in dealing with demolition in our neighborhood. And I'm very encouraged by what I've heard this afternoon from the testimony, as well as specifically from the committee work from Landmarks and Design Review Commission. I think we're very much in alignment with the general direction that they're advocating. And I think the vision that we all are trying to get a grasp on that Rick Michelson so eloquently spoke to in the comprehensive plan. I think that right now I'm not sure the comprehensive plan has really got a grip on where we need to go as a city in terms of our neighborhoods, but that's extremely important. I'm also encouraged that the BDS DRAC is becoming engaged in addressing these issues of demolition and the process. We have been formulating for about a year our own position on that, and I'd be happy to leave you a copy if you haven't already received it. It is an evolving document, but I think it contains substantially the ideas that have been expressed by others in terms of defining demolition as 50%. And providing the 120-day notice after a 35 or 45-day delay, 120-day delay by the Neighborhood Association for cause. Right now, the causes are rather loosely defined, I suggested that we tighten up those reasons so it's not abused. So I want to say that I think that demolition in our city is a crisis, not just because of the way it's happening, but that is the permit process, its environmental impacts, the equity impacts, and the sensibility of people living in our city and their sense of well-being. As land use chair, I am weakly drawn into the angst and anger of neighbors who are panicked over what's happening and what might happen on their street, and they, I get engaged with them and talk to them about how the city policies are actually encouraging the demolition that's going on in our neighborhood. This is not a market force that's just floating around out there. These are city policies that set the stage that make this very profitable. Suburban developers are increasingly attracted to insert their standard products in our neighborhoods, and you can drive around the city and see that. And it's going to be increasingly the case. They have special privileges in terms of getting their standard plans approved almost immediately. They don't go through any kind of design review. So it's very inexpensive for them to go through the city process, and it requires much less upfront money in terms of site development than they would have in the suburbs. So there are market incentives. There are things that just are historic relics or conditions that set the stage, but we are encouraging this demolition, and I have to explain that to folks. these are not marketing forces, but they are market forces directed by the city planning and policy.
But Mr. Merrick, I mean, doesn't the market play a role in that people wouldn't be building these things unless somebody wanted to buy them?
I'm not saying that this isn't, I'll restate what I said, which is that there are market forces at work, but there are market forces that are shaped by city policies that can be changed to create a different set of incentives.
Right, but I mean, is it at sort of a basic level, if somebody could sell the existing house for a higher price than they could sell the new thing they're planning to build, wouldn't they not build the new thing and just sell the old thing?
Well, I think you'd have to look at what the incentives are in terms of reduced upfront costs and the lack of fees for going to the landfill.
Right, but there are no upfront costs for just, I mean, if you're just selling the existing house, there's not a bunch of new cost involved in that. So it does seem to me that at a really basic level, the new house, you can sell the new house for more than you would have sold the old house, otherwise you wouldn't have swapped out one for the other.
I can't argue with you on that point. I mean, of course, they wouldn't be involved in they wouldn't be engaging in the practice of tearing down the houses if they didn't think that there was an opportunity to make a profit. I mean, it is the market at work, but it's the market at work in an environment that is shaped by the regulatory environment. That's my point.
Thank you very much, Rod. Or did you finish?
I got a couple of other thoughts here. So I want to say that the demolition counts can't be dismissed by the current non-definition because we've got many instances where the houses are torn down to a part of a wall and then reconstructed. So we really need to look at what the big picture is on that if we're going to toss around numbers there. I mentioned that our neighborhood, along with Southeast Uplift and other Southeast neighborhoods, have adopted policies for demolition notification and a process that I will submit here today. The design and distinction or distinctive character of the neighborhood is really critical to Portland's health as a city. The zoning code needs to be based on neighborhood planning and a framework code that facilitates distinctive neighborhoods. I think that's something that the comprehensive plan needs to spend more time focusing on. The final point, I think, is that the zoning, including the demolition incentives, needs to be assessed through a lens that includes a lot more sensitivity about equity, about environment, about the long-term vision that we have for the city. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome, Bess.
Hello, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Vanessa Rennick, and I live in the Sabin neighborhood, which I've been living in for 25 years. I'm an artist, and I made a film about an African-American-owned record store, combo barber shop, and corner store, the House of Sound, which is on Williams Avenue, and about the giant part of the community that it was and that it now does not exist. When Kathy Galbraith was talking about how many people are not happy with the design that's going on Williams, I wanted to say that myself and a lot of my friends have taken to referring to Williams Avenue as Frankenstein Avenue. I'm here to speak for myself and also for many of my friends and neighbors that could not be here, and they are concerned about the loss of the smaller starter homes that are mainly being replaced by Hillsborough hideous architecture that is not a step at all and priced way out of range of the working class and lower income people that are not able to live here anymore. Many of my friends have left already, and I know others will be moving out of Portland because they cannot afford to live here. And not only people, but as others spoke before, lots of trees are being cut down when these new houses are built right to the edges of the property. And not only am I thinking about myself, but I'm thinking about birds and bugs and other habitat that we are losing. As an aside, if it's the coming density is an issue, why are people allowed to own property and leave them empty, as three homes within a two-block radius of my home have been for over 25 years? I don't know the answers to these or how to address these concerns. But as I sat here listening to all who spoke, I found myself, the artist, looking up at my friend Michael Brophy's painting above us, depicting Portland before the settlers arrived, during the early development, and now. And I found myself thinking, I should just paint a huge dollar sign over the entire painting. As with all of the demolitions, replacing houses that poorer people can afford with monstrosities, we are heading in a very short time to becoming the nightmare that is San Francisco now. I'm grateful for the time given for us to voice our concerns and ask that solutions be found quickly before more damage is done to the city that we all love dearly.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Marianne, you get the last word.
Hello, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Marianne Schwab. I live in the inner southeast Sunnyside neighborhood and have been there over 40 years. And I'd like to talk about the demolition delay and how it started. Recreation, education, access to commerce and housing would be a motto for every 95 neighborhood. It started with REACH. We were very successful in getting the first 30-day demolition delay. And what some of the background on that, within 6 blocks of my house, we lost an English Tudor house on 39th and Washington, now a parking lot. We lost a Craftsman-style house at 39th and Salmon next to the U.S. Bank. We lost two bungalows on 33rd and Southeast Stark next to Lorehurst Village. We do need respite care for seniors, so it changed from residential to commercial. We've been tracking this quite a while. Most recently, we had a nasty developer who came into 2808 Southeast Belmont, no notification, dumpster boxes, and when I drove by, I saw their workers, mostly workers of color, not having eye masks or face masks. So I'm very concerned about asbestos. I'm very concerned about lead paint. I'm very concerned about the workers doing the work. That needs to be tightened up in my book. Also, I really support Neil Kelly and how he runs his business. A very popular developer. People trust him. He mails out a postcard to anybody within that area if he's coming in to remodel. So if you come home and find your garbage can tipped over or a pickup truck in your driveway, there is a number 24/7. That's not the case with the developer currently putting in 113 units at Peacock Lane's back fence between Stark and Belmont. It's 180 feet deep. It was on three different zones, a very complex project for any developer and your city planners. And I'm really disappointed the fence was left open and one of the ladies on Peacock Lane 85 fell in a hole. No one yet recognized her. A car went around the clock, around up to Stark, down Peacock Lane back, put on her flashers, and was able to get her home. There has to be more attention to the public when they're building these things. It's safety issues. That 60-day notification is helpful, both for the neighborhood associations, that ties into your Portland public involvement principles, but we need the extra 60 days in case somehow in my neighborhood, Sunnyside, I find somebody with $30,000 in their pocket to hire a land use attorney to fight back. That's what happened in the Multnomah neighborhood when they really tried to get three-quarter acre Fremont water tower property in a park-deficient neighborhood. They lost their case. We, as private citizens, really need some more support in these issues. And speaking of that land, they sold it on Craigslist on a $1,000 promissory note. I want promises from you and the two absentees here that that'll never happen again on Craigslist. They already tried to send the skin on the Mount Tabor Reservoir on, eBay. That's got to stop. This land must be protected, owned in the commons, for the common good, and we need to be part of those decisions. And I thank you for that. The historical district, what's the point of our doing all this work in Buckman? All this work anywhere in the city when it's easy and when the seller, the people that own the property say, oh, take my name off the list. That's wrong. That really sabotages the whole neighborhood and the whole concept. I really support all the speakers here. I had the great presentations. please take time to reread them. Thank you.
Well, thank you all. Time for some council questions to staff or comments, if there are any. I just want to say I think this has been one of the more thoughtful and compelling public hearings that I've been in, and I've been in a lot of them. So I really appreciate both the quality of the work that we heard from all three of our volunteer boards and commissions that we heard from today, Landmarks, Design, and the Development Review Advisory Committee, and then just amazing testimony. So I think you've really all done a great job of highlighting this issue. So
one house is going down. Yeah. And when you look at the lot and how they squeezed it, they can get four in there. Your accessory dwelling units are going to be a nightmare. We need to talk about how you're spending that money. We need some of that percentage of the dollars you're going to spend next week on our noise abatement officers. Some of it, if they're going to create the noise, then they need to pay for the staff to pull it back into place. Thank you.
What dollars are we spending next week?
I don't know if we're spending any dollars next week, Marianne. But
whatever dollars you spend.
Sure we will.
If you're collecting the hotel tax, that's what the dollars are.
Those dollars.
Those dollars.
Okay, thank you very much.
I
also wanted to thank you guys for consolidating these reports and the public testimony together, because I think they're all interrelated issues, and it was very timely to get all of this together. So.
Thank you.
As somebody who testified at the end, I really appreciate the affirmation. Thank you.
Thanks, Rod. Questions for staff? Follow-up here?
I wanted staff to tell us what the BDS staff have been having discussions regarding the major and minor demolitions and the state the issue with what the state requires in the building code versus what we can do.
Rebecca Esau, manager of the Land Use Services Division at the Bureau of Development Services. Before I get into that, I just wanted to express my appreciation also for the two commissions and the excellent reports they presented today and all of the testimony from the community, as well as the work that DRAC has done with city staff, not just from BDS, but from the infrastructure bureaus on the issues that you heard today. So there is, as you heard, a subcommittee with DRAC that's working on the issue of the definition of demolition, as well as trying to create a definition or a parameters for what it would be considered a major remodel versus a minor remodel, and address those issues of, you know, if you take more than 50% of the wall area down, you know, what does that constitute? I don't have the information about the state law with me. The person from BDS who was here, who was available to talk about that, has left. But we can get that information to you. And we have a draft that we're working with the committee on, and I can send you all the draft if you'd like to look at where we're at on those different parameters and categories and what review levels they would require and notification associated with those.
I'd like that.
Okay.
So it's my intent to continue that process, which is well underway. The Development Review Advisory Committee has been working pretty closely. This was the first time I'd heard it from the Historic Landmarks Committee with their recommendations. So I'll certainly look into what was proposed and bring something back to council, hopefully.
Yeah, because one of the things I heard today, and I think it's pretty clear, that there are things we need to do in the comp plan, but there are things we need to do before that.
Right.
And that those are severable questions of what do we need to do in the comp plan to change the conditions. But what do we need to do now to deal with what's obviously a more urgent problem?
And there's some things that can be done relatively quickly by changing Title 24, which is the demolition code. The issues that I heard today that I'm very interested in having the Planning and Sustainability Commission and the Planning Bureau with the comp plan is the design of the new houses, and particular lot coverage. That was something that bothered me the entire 7 years that I was on the Planning Commission, and that's where you get the out-of-scale development. Now, I will say to everybody that we have made some significant progress on the issue of the tree preservation by my colleagues on the council funding the tree code implementation, which will start on January 1st. I know. Yay. Thank you very much. So that it won't save all of the trees, but certainly for the large trees, it will require a permit in any situation, whether it's development or not. So that's something that we will be doing some community outreach to explain what the new regulations are and then implementing that code as of January 1st. So help is on the way on that particular issue. The other pieces as to what we need to do to make the new development more compatible is a comprehensive plan issue, and I know that that's in the second half of the proposed longer recap, the Regulatory Improvement Code project that the Bureau of Planning is going to be proposing. It hasn't gone to the Planning Commission yet, but they're going to be proposing an 18-month process to look at that. Whether there might be some quick things that could be done sooner rather than later on that, that's really your purview.
I do want to look at that very question of how can we do it faster.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's actually very helpful in our commission form of government, especially with the collaborative spirit, that I can move this piece forward quickly, you can focus on the design pieces and hopefully address things as soon as we can.
Yeah.
I did want to put in a plug for having the tools that we need to do the job to address the concerns you hear today. We need to update the design guidelines. We need to write design guidelines where they don't exist. And these are BPS projects that need to be funded and on their work plan. Mm-hmm. And we need to rewrite and overhaul the community design standards as we're talking about doing.
Those would be things we would put into the budget request for next year.
Maybe even the fall bump, if there were money.
Well, I'm really quite a proponent of looking at all of the asks together. So I think the $20,000 is small enough that an ask to get going on that, especially since it's coming from our beloved commission, that is something that I'd be comfortable moving forward. The staffing issue for how we would ramp up for a greater design overlays and more design work, I think more properly belongs in the bigger discussion, which is only another 3 or 4 months after the fall bump. But did you see?
And Nancy Thorington, she is here. I thought you'd gone, but she is the staff member at BDS who's running the project with DRAC related to the major remodels and the demolitions, the subcommittee.
The question is about the state regulations and what we need to do to be able to look at the 50% mark or whatever the number might be as to how to define a partial remodel rather than a demolition.
There are no constraints under the state law. It's pretty much an open slate, and other communities have done that. So we're just basically looking for direction from the council.
Okay, well, that's good. That's great. We have a legislative ask, most likely, but we don't have to wait for state building codes approval to do what make
and is
changes.
There a subcommittee? You said there is a subcommittee working on that.
Yes, the DRAC, it's demolition subcommittee, and we've been working with staff on creating a program guide that basically would outline what these different, what's a demolition, what's a minor, and what's a major remodel, and then DRAC. That subcommittee also is working on recommendations to the council for how to address the issues in Title 24.
So given the interest, you could invite members from the Historic Landmarks Commission and the Design Commission to join that subcommittee.
Absolutely.
Still at that stage, right?
Yes.
Great. Other questions for staff? Then I believe we need to take action to simply accept the reports today. But that doesn't mean that we're done, obviously, with this work. But we do need to accept the report. So I'd like to hear a motion to accept the Landmarks Commission's report, please.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
I really appreciate all the testimony today and the work of the commission and of the staff. And I have to say, both of these reports, they're extremely well-written and enjoyable to read. And that's something that we don't always achieve in government or in citizen committees. So it's much appreciated. Aye.
Fritz. Thank you, Commissioner. That was one of the reasons I felt compelled to keep reminding folks that the people who were testifying to us were citizen volunteers, because the level of expertise is outstanding. I'm particularly happy with regard to the Landmarks Commission report to hear the mayor's support for moving forward on the Skidmore design standards and design guidelines. I feel that's one of my items on my bucket list that I owe to Art DeMuro, and I would be very happy to get that done as soon as possible. Appreciate all of the other elements of the Historic Landmarks Commission and report. And I'm really happy that in some ways that we have this challenge, that finally development is starting to happen and that we can look at what is the new city that we want to be promoting, where are we going. All of the work that we did over the recession with the Portland plan and now with the comprehensive plan update, it's coming at just the right time. Maybe a year or two too late, but that was not for want of trying to get things done. And so I think we're well placed to be making some changes that will then promote the kind of development that we can all embrace. But it'll take a lot more work. And I do encourage everybody to continue participating in the comprehensive plan work, because that's really where the nitty-gritty of what does this new development look like and how do we preserve more homes. Because there's a policy question to be made, too. There are policy questions, especially in historic landmarks. Just because you're old, are you historic? Just because you're historic, do you need to be saved? And that's something that you will help us grapple with, and that the community as a whole, because there isn't a right or wrong answer. It's a question of what do we as a community value when we're balancing all of our comprehensive plan policies and all of our statewide land use planning goals. So I look forward to that discussion. Aye.
Hales.
Well, thank you all again for great work and for a really excellent public hearing. I mean, it's one of those times when you know you're in Portland because of the level of thoughtfulness about a place that people care so much about. So thank you. It's been extraordinary for me. Aye. And then the other item, to accept the Design Commission's report.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Roll call on that, please.
Novick?
I don't think Gwen is here anymore, but I just want to say again what a pleasure it's been to have her serving in that capacity. And, I mean, the whole commission deserves kudos, but shout out again to Gwen. And I also want to reiterate my appreciation for the Design Commission helping us wrestle with this question of what to do about parking, even though it's not really within their scope of responsibility. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, the parking question is particularly of interest to me, coming from Europe, where even in London they do require one-to-one parking for new units. So we can learn from looking around, and then we can make it Portland. And so I think that that's part of the challenge too. So there's many issues of design that overlap the issues of historic preservation, and indeed we're creating the history of tomorrow. So we need to be looking at. I appreciated the discussion of. What are the buildings of the future that the Design Commission considers when it's looking at things? So as I mentioned, there will be upcoming some vacancies on the Design Commission. So if anybody who's watching has found this as fascinating as the three of us have, you know, I say, poor Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Saltzman, they didn't get to participate in this hearing. And it's always one of my favorite hearings of the year, that to hear the work that you've been doing, and even though it's now after 5 o'clock, the concise summary of all the work that you do is very, very impressive. So thank you very much. Aye.
Hales.
Quality of place is what we've got. So thanks for an excellent piece of work by the commissions, and again, by the testimony you heard. You'll be seeing action from this council on this subject matter very soon. Thank you. Aye. We're adjourned until next week. Thank you.